All right. Well, everybody, welcome to episode 40 of the podcast, dude. Glenn Leibowitz is back again. Glenn, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Aaron. It's great to be back. I can't believe it. This is the third episode we're recording to get today, and I'm really psyched.
Third and final episode. I'm a little bit sad.
I am too. I'm not entirely sad. I'm planning out our next series for maybe later this year or next year. So
really, we got another series coming.
I'm gonna have to bring you on my podcast. So this is an open invitation to Aaron Dowd, the podcast dude, to join me on Write with Impact.
Excellent. Yeah. And so speaking of that, I want to try to do like the fastest, most succinct intro for both of us possible. My name is Aaron Dowd. I'm 30 years old. I help people make better podcasts. And your name is Glenn Leibowitz. You help people be better writers.
That's right.
I feel like I could have done just a little bit better with you. How would you do that? Describe yourself like one sentence.
No, that's okay. I work as a communications guy at a company. It's a global company, and I'm based in Taiwan. I'm originally from South Florida. But in my spare time, I like to write about a number of topics, and one of those is writing. And I also started a podcast last April called Write with Impact. And I interview a lot of writers of nonfiction and fiction. And I also blog a lot. And one place I blog is LinkedIn. And I'd like to talk to you and everyone listening today about, you know, why you should at least consider writing on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Excellent. That's pretty good. I'll take that. Wait a second. Episode 40, man. My show is old now.
I have a feeling we're going to be using that word quite a bit in this one.
All right. Everybody, welcome to episode 40. We're talking about LinkedIn today. Glenn, you've done really, really well with LinkedIn publishing, writing blog posts on it. I have to say, though, as a member of the younger generation, I believe I can call myself a millennial. I don't like to. Other people might call me a millennial. But isn't LinkedIn, isn't it kind of for the older folks, for the more mature among us?
Ooh, low blow there, Aaron.
No. I told you before the show I was going to play this angle up a little bit, but I'm actually being serious. You know,
what I would say is a couple things. Number one is that unless there's a major advance in science, Aaron Dowd, you will be old too someday. Number one.
No.
Number two, look, I don't work for LinkedIn. I have no special relationship with them at all. But I've seen a lot of impact from, you know, writing on LinkedIn, and I'm not here to convert anybody, but if you want to listen, I can tell you just a few tips about, you know, why you may want to consider getting involved in LinkedIn in the community and also maybe publishing a blog post on LinkedIn.
I'm Dowd for that. I'm sorry, I told myself I'd never use that pun out loud. I'm actually down for that. Okay,
good.
So we had a pre-show discussion about this a few weeks ago when we were planning, and you know, I was honest. I was like, I'm curious about it. I want to learn about LinkedIn publishing because I do in the past, before I really talked to you about it, I did kind of see it as something more of just like a place for my online resume, which frankly, I don't really care about because like me and a lot of the people I know, we use our websites as our online digital resume, right? Like, I talk about the things I know how to do. I build my network. I put examples of the work I've done. I put testimonials. So anyone who wants to get to know me and work with me, who needs my skills, you know, as a podcast editor previously, they would get to know me through the website. I don't want to be, I actually am kind of the persuasion that I don't even want to send resumes out anymore. Like I want to have conversations. I want to be like connected with people. You know, I want to be able to reach out to a guy I know and say, hey, who do you know that's looking for a podcast editor? Or just to be able to put out there like, hey, I'm available for work. I don't do this very often, but I'm available for work. Who needs help? Who wants to collaborate? And I think there's a lot of people in my shoes. And so I was curious, and I want you to kind of explain that, like why you started publishing, and also why I believe that I'm overlooking the very large audience of people that are on LinkedIn, that are reading on LinkedIn and engaging and like participating in the community there.
Right. So Aaron, you know, the way you just described everything, you know, what you do and what you're looking for, I believe it just sounds exactly like what, you know, LinkedIn, I think can offer you, can help you with. So there are two things I want to talk about today. One is just, let's just step back a little bit and ask, you know, why, and that's what you're addressing. Why should creative professionals or professionals of any sort be on LinkedIn? That's one thing. And I've got a few points on that. The other thing I want to talk about today is how. So how can creative professionals use LinkedIn to their advantage? And that's what we're talking about. You know, you want to get something out of it, get some value out of it. And we can go as deep as you want on those things. But let me just start off with the why. And that's what you were addressing right now. You were asking sort of a question to yourself, but also I think on behalf of everyone listening, you know, why the heck should you spend any time on building a profile, you know, building connections, and doing anything, sharing content or creating content on LinkedIn? Because I see, you know, I didn't use it either until a couple years ago. And I was not, you know, looking for a job. I have a job. And, you know, I thought it was just a job search site. And it is, to a certain extent. That is what it's about. But there's a lot more to it than that. And we could talk about that. But I think, you know, first of all, I mean, before, I have four points. I think four reasons why you would consider even, you know, spending any time on LinkedIn. But before I get to those four points, here's one reason why you may want to build a profile on LinkedIn. And this is not necessarily related directly to building professional presence or relationships or finding new clients. And I'll get to that in a minute. But here you go. Ready? Not a lot of people talk about this, but you've heard of SEO, right? Search engine optimization.
Definitely. That was one of the main reasons I was able to quit my day job and become a full-time podcast editor, because I actually knew enough about SEO to get listed to the number one spot on Google for a podcast editor back in 2013, I think it was.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Hugely important. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So what I would say, that's great. I mean, what I would say is, look, before we get into, you know, all the great reasons why you should consider, you know, spending time on LinkedIn is, you know, you have those first 10 results on Google when people enter your name are pretty important.
Huge.
And LinkedIn has fantastic SEO juice, or, you know, Google loves LinkedIn, and it will index your profile. In fact, your profile on LinkedIn is very likely to be the first, second, or third result of those 10 results on Google. And just for that alone, just to sort of capture or claim that, you know, one out of the 10 results that pop up when they enter your name, I think is important, because, you know, some people have very unusual or unique special names. Mm-hmm. And if you enter other names, I mean, they're beautiful names, but, you know, 10, 20, 50 other people have the same exact name. I've noticed that. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Yep. So, you know, how do you get noticed among those names? So I think just for that alone, I mean, that's not the, you know, I don't think that's enough reason to invest a huge amount of time on LinkedIn, but just at least have a profile that's filled out, that's professional, has a photo, all that kind of good stuff. I'm not going to go into how to design a really nice profile on LinkedIn. I'm going to talk more about curating and creating and content on LinkedIn, which is, I think, the most exciting and powerful way to use LinkedIn. And that's what I'd like to focus on today. But just to have the basics up there as sort of your name card on LinkedIn just gives you the chance to claim one of the 10 spots on the Google search results.
Yep. And I actually just did this live as we were speaking on my own name. I Googled myself, and the results were number 6 and number 7. And that's probably because I already have my own personal blog, aarondowd.com, and thepodcastdude.com, which has my name all over both of those. So yeah, for someone who doesn't necessarily already have a website, it is a good idea. And yeah. I've had a LinkedIn profile for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, but that's good. And you are a content creator. You're a publisher, but not everyone is. And it is possible that, you know, other names. So you have an advantage. And by creating and sharing content, you definitely have an advantage. But anyway, so that's one reason. But there are a number of other reasons. I think, first of all, you want to build your professional presence. So let me just tell you some numbers as of today, as far as I know, they have LinkedIn has 420 million members. Now, not all of them are active. I've seen numbers something like only 25% of them actually log in at least once a month. But it's still a sizable audience. It's global and it's growing, and it's growing pretty fast.
25% of 420 million is 105 million.
See, millennials can add. That's great.
It was actually division maths, mathematics.
I think so. Yes.
Maths was not my strong suit, actually.
That's okay.
Okay, continue.
All right. So look, you know, I'm not here to sell, you know, how big they are, but they are big, they are growing, and they have pretty high ambitions. They want to reach 1 billion users at one point. I don't think it'll happen next year, maybe not in 2 years, but I think at some point it might happen. They want to reach 1 billion people globally. So it's a large audience and it's very, very global. And what you want to do is, you know, build your professional presence beyond just the SEO benefit, which I just mentioned. It's really, and this is really for, again, it's not for people who are necessarily job seekers. And you know, there are a lot of job seekers on LinkedIn, and that's fine. That's what it's, that's one of the purposes, you know, that's one of their benefits. But if you're a creative professional looking for, to build your business, to build your clientele, and to you know, build relationships in your area, I think it's a great place. It's one additional channel that you should definitely consider spending some time on, and we'll talk about, you know, how to do that. And related to that is plugging into professional communities. So they have a number of groups, and just, you know, the membership on LinkedIn is really diverse, and it's not just a bunch of, you know, resume holding job seekers. Although again, there are a lot of them on there, and there are a lot of people, independent professionals, freelancers, creative professionals who are on LinkedIn and are building, you know, plugging into communities, getting to know people, building relationships with, you know, like-minded individuals, people like them. And, you know, when you get involved with some of the groups or just get to know people there, you'll see what I mean. You instantly connect with them, you get their email, you take the conversation, you keep it on LinkedIn sometimes, they have a chat function, or you just take it right offline and you can follow up. And you know, share ideas, share resources, and make friends. So I think that's a huge, huge benefit of that.
Gotcha. So build your professional presence, plug into professional communities. What are some of the other benefits?
Yeah. So I think before even getting to finding new clients, I think you should just consider, you know, strengthening relationships with existing clients. So you've got, you know, clients that you're working with or have worked with in the past, and you know, they're very likely to be on LinkedIn, and by sharing content and even maybe publishing your own content, and that's something I'll talk about, I think it's good marketing, really smart marketing. You know, it's showing that you're, I think I'm quoting Sean McCabe here, but you know, when you teach what you know, you become an authority. And, you know, you have to do that consistently too. But, you know, by sharing, curating content, could be other people's content, but especially if you're curating or sharing your own content, and then also if you're publishing blog posts or publishing your own content there, that just sends a very strong signal to your existing clients that you know your stuff. And when they start, you know, looking around at the two or three other options that they have to hire someone, say a graphic designer or a video editor or a freelance writer or a comic artist, then it's, you know, very possible that they'll think of you first.
People want to go with the people they know and trust.
Yeah. So that's definitely another benefit. And then finding new clients. I mean, that's what a lot of people are on there for. They want to build their clientele. And I've seen a number of people build businesses, you know, freelance businesses off the back of the relationships that they've found and cultivated on LinkedIn. And look, it's not the only place you could do that. One, you know, there's the Sean West community, which is fantastic. And there are all kinds of other platforms out there, but you know, LinkedIn is large and it's growing, and there are a lot of people. It's a very diverse community. You can segment it down to, you know, all sorts of very niche, specialized groups, you know, interest groups, people that are interested in, you know, one sort of thing, say graphic design, for example, or video editing, podcast editing, you can find people there.
Yeah.
And you can also, the other thing is, I mean, it's not just people like yourself. You want to find people that need your services. So, you know, when you see all these corporations, these big companies there, they're very present there. And people, you know, who work at those companies are very present on LinkedIn. But very often they need your help. They need your services. And very often they also have budget. You know, they have sometimes very big budgets that they can spend on outsourcing or, you know, on hiring you for your expertise, whether it be, again, graphic design, logo design, freelance writing, or whatnot. Companies, and the larger they get, they tend to have, you know, more generous budgets that they can allocate to all kinds of services. So if you want to be in that consideration set, if you want to be considered by them, then you want to have a presence there.
No, that's a great point. And I think the remote working thing and being able to work with a bunch of different clients, that's only going to become more and more commonplace in the future. I think a lot of people are going to transition from having everybody in a single building to saying, okay, we've got maybe our core group of people, but we need this person with this specialty and we need this person with this specialty for these projects. So who do we know that can fill those roles? And so that's when if you have that connection with certain people and you've been writing and publishing, they're going to say, hey, we know this guy or we know that gal.
Right.
Let's reach out and see if they're available.
Exactly. And you raise a very important point. So what's amazing about LinkedIn is it's very, very global. And for that reason, you can expand your global audience, your potential client audience to the world. That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, on the other hand, it's also very local. So even though you can join, you know, clubs or communities or associations or whatnot locally to, you know, get to know people, network, build your network locally, actually, because so many people are on LinkedIn, someone maybe down the street from you that you would have never met before, they would never know who you are, could reach out to you and get to know you and do business with you. So I've had, you know, I have connections all around the world, so I've gotten to know people from around the world, but I've also made connections here locally where I live thanks to LinkedIn. I've been invited to some interesting opportunities, you know, to give speeches or to just join some events and just get to know some interesting people that live literally, you know, right down the street from your work, you know, in the same area that I work, but I would have never met them otherwise. So it's very global, but also very, very local at the same time.
Excellent. Excellent. So I think we've established some of the benefits. So like growing your professional audience, connecting with people, plugging into those other professional communities, strengthening relationships with the clients you do have, and also finding new clients. You know, and I gave you a hard time before the show, and because I said, I'm not sure if this is for people like me. But something I just want to mention to the listeners, something that was a huge part of my success as a podcast editor and up until this point was making those professional connections, connecting with people, not just necessarily in my particular interest. You know, I started in web design a few years back before I got into podcast editing. And so I connected with a bunch of web designers and developers. And those connections, those relationships that I built with those people, eventually they turned into client work. They turned into people sending referrals to me. They turned into people starting podcasts and reaching out to me and wanting me to help them. So I just want to say that, you know, we laughed earlier about being able to do math, but 100 million people is a large community. And these are a very particular set of people. You know, there's a lot of people on Twitter that are just kind of playing around. You know, they're talking about whatever. They're just kind of live streaming their life, you know. They're all ages. Maybe they're into business. Maybe they're not. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of noise on Twitter. I would argue that the people on LinkedIn are just a little bit more serious about business, just a little bit more focused. I think it is. I'm having a hard time putting an exact word to it, but I feel like it is more. If you're interested in business, like if you have a business, if you're a freelancer, if that's the thing you're working on right now, then I think that LinkedIn is a good place to be.
Absolutely. And Well, I'm impressed that you remembered even the number that you had calculated earlier, 105 million being, you know, one quarter of 420 million. And that's just, you know, indication of, you know, your age, you're able to remember things like that. I'm very impressed. But that's beside the point.
My memory is going.
But anyway, so where were we?
All right. So we've established the benefits. So let's talk about how do, like, someone like me, how do we get started? Like, what do
yeah,
we do?
Sure. Yeah, so look, what can you do? What can a creative professional like Aaron Dowd or those in the Seanwiss community, the fantastic Seanwiss community, what can you do to take advantage of LinkedIn? I think there are three things, and I call them sort of the three C's of building a successful network on LinkedIn. So there's connect, there's curate, and there's create. So I intentionally, you know,
three C's.
Yeah, exactly. The alliteration is intentional. So let's talk about connect. Create new connections. You can create new connections and get to know your existing connections better. And then you can also attract followers and follow other people. So until now, we've been talking about connecting with people. So that is definitely one of the most powerful things that you can do on LinkedIn is to build your direct connections by reaching out and saying, hey, I want to be connected with you. And then you could also follow other people, and then other people can follow you. And even though you're not directly connected. And by connecting directly, you'll get updates in your feed from them, and you'll get their email address, believe it or not. You'll actually have access to their email address. You can connect with them offline and take the conversation offline. And so that is something that, you know, I highly recommend. And it takes a little while to cultivate that. But I've found that, you know, building my connections and also followers, especially through publishing, writing regularly,
yes,
has been, number one, the engagement level is really, really high. So people actually read my stuff, or they share it, or they, you know, comment on it. The other thing is the quality of the audience is very high. And then just the speed at which I'm able to build, you know, my connections and followers is just much, much faster than other social media platforms that all, you know, will remain unnamed, but it's much faster. And the other thing is, you know, I do have my own blog. I have my two blogs, and I definitely do have my own email list. And I strongly recommend everyone build their own self-hosted blog and their email list. But, but you know, to generate the kind of traffic that I need to that and to build my email list takes time. So, you know, LinkedIn has definitely accelerated that. It's definitely accelerated my email building. And the size of my audience for my personal blog and also my podcast.
That's a good point. You know, I started building my email list. I use MailChimp currently
from
the Seanwiss Network.
I'm a MailChimp user.
MailChimp, yeah. And there's a lot of good options. And then I've got the sign up form on thepodcastdude.com. But something I've been doing recently, and I think this is something a lot of people should do, I've been also publishing blog posts on Medium. And I add a link back to my website. And if I were to start publishing, and I want to start publishing on LinkedIn, I would also add a link back to my website. So I've got these different, I don't know if you, would you call them funnels?
Sure.
Funnels out there in the world, kind of bringing all these people back to my website, you know, by way of links in profiles and links at the end of blog posts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think putting out those little, it's almost like spider webs. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but you're kind of capturing people and bringing them back to your home base, which is your blog,
exactly,
and your website. And so important to have that home base.
No, absolutely, I totally agree with that. And I'm actually surprised some people are really good at blogging, writing on LinkedIn. They publish regularly, but they don't have a home base to point to. It's kind of strange. But if you look at
podcasters that do that,
if you look at every single post that I've published 78 so far over the past nearly 2 years on LinkedIn. At the very bottom, you'll see I direct people, or at least I try to direct people to my blog or my podcast or somewhere where they can follow me and hopefully sign up, you know, on my newsletter, on my list, and I can continue the relationship. And I do. So I email the people who sign up to my list. I email them once a week. With my latest, greatest content. And sometimes I interact with them. I talk to them and, you know, they provide a little bit of feedback once in a while, which is great. So that's absolutely what you know, LinkedIn is not sort of the terminal point. That's not the ending point where you're going to build your audience.
Right.
but it is a great way to speed up your audience building and your, for lack of a better word, brand building, your personal brand building and your professional presence. It'll just speed everything up if you spend a little time on there. So connecting with people directly, following other people and them and other people following you, that's you know, one of the key benefits.
Excellent. So connect. And then the second one was curate.
Right. So curate, so that's something that a lot of people do. So even without writing your own blog post, hitting publish on LinkedIn, which I actually recommend you do, and we'll talk about that. But even without doing that, you can curate two types of content. You could curate other types of content that you see on the web, stuff that your friends publish on LinkedIn. And mm-hmm. I highly recommend you do that because that helps build your sort of goodwill with them. The law of reciprocity that Sean McCabe likes to mention quite often, and I totally believe in that. You know, by giving your attention, sharing your attention to other people's content, if they notice, when they notice, they may return the favor at some point. And even if they don't, that's fine. You know, when you share content that's relevant to your brand, relevant to your area of expertise, you know, in a way it reflects back on you. And so sharing content, you'll see a lot of people doing that. Sometimes they do it a little bit too frequently. So you want to get the right rhythm and the right pace of sharing content, but that's definitely a great way to get your feet wet and get active and build a presence and be known for, number one, just being involved. You know, when people see your face once in a while on LinkedIn sharing interesting articles or interesting content, could be a video, could be, you know, an image or whatever, it's a great way to just sort of build your presence and build your community. And by the way, when you share content in your feed on LinkedIn, I've noticed that that stuff is much stickier and more visible for a longer time than other platforms out there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's, you know, of course.
Well, we know Twitter moves quickly.
No, exactly.
Especially if somebody, especially if someone has more than like 100 or 200 people that they follow, like their timeline is just like, whoosh, it's gone.
No, exactly. So that's curation. And then, of course, you can and should curate your own content. You should share your own content. So, and I've seen the engagement levels on, you know, when I share a podcast that I've just published or a blog post, you know, people will like it and comment on it and share it. And, you know, if I go back to the social sharing buttons on my podcast website or my blog, I'll see a lot of that comes from LinkedIn. And that's, you know, that's because that's a function of the fact that I've built up a large following of direct connections and followers on LinkedIn over the past couple of years. But it's also a function of just the power of the network to sort of radiate your content just by sharing, just by dropping it into your feed. If it's interesting, if you have a little, you know, one-liner or a short paragraph that introduces what this is about, why it's interesting, people will read it. People will click through it. People will share it. They'll comment on it. They'll like it. Just that piece that you share. And I'm not even talking about writing a, you know, blog post.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic strategy, I think, for almost any social network. That's how I do on Twitter. I will share things that I find interesting or valuable that I think the people in my audience will find interesting or valuable. It tells the people what you care about, tells them what you're into, what you're paying attention to. And so I try to mix it up between, you know, maybe half of other people's stuff that I share and then half of my original content or my own personal thoughts. So yeah, I think if it works on LinkedIn, it'll work other places as well.
Yeah, definitely. So should we talk about create?
Yeah, number three, create.
Create. Okay, so this is where things start to move faster and get more exciting and fun, in my opinion. So I've been doing this for almost 2 years. So I speak from a little bit of experience. LinkedIn started publishing content written by its so-called influencers, hand-selected people of influence around the world. There are about 500 of them. They started that a good 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But 2 years ago, they opened up their blogging platform to the rest of its membership. Mm-hmm. And they did that in waves because they didn't want to melt the servers because there were so many, you know, members, hundreds of millions of members. So they limited it to, you know, certain blocks of members. But today, most members, not all, most members have access to the blogging platform and can publish on a blog post. So there's a little pencil icon on your homepage on LinkedIn. On the right side, it says publish a post. And it looks very unassuming, kind of shy, kind of, you know, sitting there on your homepage on LinkedIn, but it's actually very powerful. And here's why. So last year, at one point, the editor, Dan Roth, said that a million people on LinkedIn had contributed, had published a post on LinkedIn. And weekly, they publish something like 130,000. I've seen the number go up to 150,000 posts a week. So a lot of people are publishing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, not all of that stuff is getting noticed equally. And there are strategies for getting noticed. And we could talk a little bit about that. But it's definitely something that has taken a hold. A lot of people are doing it. And I've done and I've seen a lot of impact from that. So just by publishing, you know, consistently over the past 2 years, I've built my audience on LinkedIn, but also off LinkedIn. Like I said before, I've been building my email list, building my Twitter following. Thanks to LinkedIn, I always put my Twitter handle at the bottom of my posts. And so my Twitter following has grown, but I've seen the most engagement on LinkedIn. Engagement meaning, you know, people who actually, you know, read my stuff, they comment on it, they share it, they like it. It's just astounding. And especially, and I could, you know, talk a little bit about how to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm interested in that. And I actually went, so I'm on LinkedIn right now. I'm looking at the site and I hit the little button that says write a post.
Yep.
And it's a really nice, just like very simple blog post editor.
Exactly.
You got a place to add an image. You've got a place to write a headline. You've got this, the different buttons for bold and text and, you know, italic and all that, lists and links. And
yep.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Now I got to publish something. Okay, keep going.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. So I'm going to talk about writing on LinkedIn, publishing, blogging, essentially blogging on LinkedIn. And that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years. So let me talk, you know, we could go on for a long time about this, but I'll try to, you know, pull out a few highlights, a few tips.
Good.
That could just give you a flavor of sort of, you know, how you should think about it. And look, it's not rocket science and it's not radically different from, you know, writing on your own blog. It is a blog. A blog is a blog is a blog, but it is a little bit different on LinkedIn because of the nature of the community and just the way things work and the way you get noticed, get your posts noticed. So anyway, let me get started. So first of all, I highly recommend before you start writing and publishing, why don't you just study what others are writing on LinkedIn? So just take a look around. You can't miss it. It's called Pulse. Pulse is the name of the publishing platform. And so read a bunch of posts. Read several dozen posts by others that are writing about topics that you want to write about and or on other topics. So study those carefully to see which ones did well and try to analyze why. You know, just try to see, you know, what was so good about that post. Why did people, you know, why did 800 people click like on, you know, on Glenn's post or some other person's post? And look at the top 10, 20, 30 posts in a given day to see which ones rose to the top. And why? So if you look at, if you see the list of posts, if you click on a post, you'll see at the left-hand side, the left-hand sidebar, you'll see it's basically a rank listing, ranked by page views, by reads, by views. So it starts from the top, the one with the most views, and then it goes down. If you were to click, you'll see the number decreases. So it's essentially a ranking. They don't number it, but it is a ranking based on page views. And that list refreshes, it changes every day because, you know, new posts are being published and then they'll stop featuring some of the top posts, they'll pull them down, they'll remove them from that sidebar and feature other posts, but it's essentially it's ranked by number of views. And so you could see which ones did really well and go in and read them, study them, take a look at them. What do they write about? You know, what's the topic and how long are they? How do they format them? You know, what style do they write? You know, in what style do they write? That kind of thing. So just poke around, study just for a little bit. I'm not talking about days or anything. Just spend an hour or so just
research.
Reading other people's stuff. And I think that'll give you, you know, a good flavor for what's out there. So that's one thing. The other thing you should do is, you know, when you start to write, so this is starting to, you know, talking about writing a post, how to do that for LinkedIn. Keep your posts short. So try to keep them under, people recommend between 500 and 900 words as sort of a sweet spot. Sometimes my posts run over that, 1,000 or even more, and they still do well. So there's no hard and fast rule about length. Some people write very short posts, But, you know, try to keep them short. Many more people are reading on smartphones these days, as you know, so yeah. They don't have a lot of time to read or, quote, consume content. And they want to get value out of a post quickly, so people are looking for something that's going to be useful to them. So don't run on and on in your post with a wall of text. You know, you want to try to get to the point, you know, tell a story, give some advice, and sort of get out of there, end it, and then, you know, put a little signature at the bottom that says, hey, this is who I am. And if you want, you know, want to find out more about me, come to my blog. So you should definitely direct people at the end of your post to your own home base off of LinkedIn.
Definitely. Well, and I will say something. You mentioned a wall of text. That's something you got to be aware of, I think, when writing for the internet. And I think that a lot of the smart people on LinkedIn will be a little bit more tolerant of a longer paragraph, you know, 4, 5, 6 sentences. But I think for me, I do like to break them up a little bit. I try to do, you know, I generally don't do too many like one sentence paragraphs. You know, I won't have a sentence by itself unless it's kind of important. Unless if I were saying it in real life to someone, because I try to write like a talk. So if I had something really, really important to say and I was like, this is the single biggest thing that you need to take away from this episode, that sentence right there would be on a line by itself because I want it to have a lot of impact. But otherwise, I try not to just have these paragraphs that go on and on and on because people, you know, their eyes glaze over.
Absolutely.
After a little while.
Yeah. No, in my latest post, I actually had a one-word sentence. So
one-word sentence. What was the word?
Ouch. O-U-C-H. Ouch. Ouch, period.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. You can do that.
Yep.
It's the internet, man. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so definitely break up your text. So let's move on. What else did I want to say? I think there's just a whole bunch
consistency.
Of consistency. Oh yeah. So consistency is really, really important. So here you go. So, you know, don't just publish here and there and then quit for a few months or even longer, like years. And then, you know, you should aim to publish at least one post, say every 2 months. Now that doesn't sound very frequent, and it's not.
No,
actually,
it doesn't.
It's not. But my point is, you know, my recommendation is, you know, a lot of people I talk to, they say, hey, I want to get started. I want to start blogging. I'm going to publish once a week, one
ambitious,
post a week.
Yeah.
And then they don't. And it's very hard to sustain if you have done nothing so far. So my advice is start small and, you know, work your way up. You know, learn to walk and then learn to run, you know, jog, and then maybe learn to run later. So, you know, start small, start infrequent, maybe once every 2 months. And even at that would be 6 posts a year. And again, doesn't sound like a lot, but 6 posts is a lot more than 0, which is what most people are publishing right now, 0. So, you know, ramp that up, of course, to, you know, once a month and make it a good post. Make it something that you're proud to share. And by the way, you can republish that elsewhere and we could talk about that. But, you know, you can make use of that content elsewhere on your own blog, of course, or on medium.com. It's perfectly fine. And then, you know, ramp that up. So for me, the advice I was given was write weekly. And I took that advice to heart and I took it pretty seriously and I did. So I've been fairly consistent. Sometimes I'll drop off. Maybe I won't publish in 2 weeks, but I try to do it roughly every week. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, being consistent is really, really important. Just showing up, you know, I'm sort of hitting my 2-year mark. Sean McCabe likes to say, you really just need to show up for at least 2 years before you start to see the impact that you're looking for. And I've seen the impact way before 2 years. So I'm running up close to 2 years, writing for 2 years on LinkedIn. And I've just seen tremendous results just in terms of the, you know, the friends that I've made, the connections I've made globally, and the way my content has been, you know, has been received very positively on LinkedIn. So anyway, so that's consistency.
Can I, I'm going to jump in here with a little story, with a little rant.
Yeah, sure.
I've got a little rant. Okay. So I'm going to share publicly. I'm going to do it. I'm going to share publicly the very first blog I ever wrote. It's still online. It wasn't that long ago. I'm looking at it right now. People can go to aaronplayingdrums.wordpress.com and go see this. I published the first blog post in June of 2011. And I have to say, I'm reading like I want to say I did like 9 or 10 posts on this blog before switching to a real site, like a real WordPress site. but it's so bad. Okay. Okay. My point is this: if you haven't done blogging very much, you feel, if you're anything like me, I felt so worried about it. I was like, and I knew that not that many people were going to read it, but I was hoping that people would read it. But if you're worried that people are going to read it and like, oh, I don't know if this is good, you have to suck at it for a while. Like, you just have to go through writing those 300 word blog posts, those 500 words, those 800 words, whatever it is. You've got to start and try to give something valuable, try to write something valuable, and then just do it over and over and over and over and again. And at first, you're probably not going to have a lot of people reading what you write.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because what you're writing probably isn't going to be that good. It's just like podcasting. The bummer with podcasting is that if you keep doing it for a while, then you go back to your first episode and a bunch of people listen to that, and you're listening to it and you're like, oof, I wish I could have done that better. There's a bunch of people. Okay, so I think I told you, Glenn, my podcast got into New and Noteworthy in iTunes. So I got a bunch of new listeners now. Well, a lot of them went back and listened to my very first episode, which I recorded last year.
Yeah.
And I have to say, compared to now, after 40 episodes, having all this practice, I sucked back then. Like, it wasn't terrible, but it's not as good. It doesn't even sound as good, because I've gotten better at mixing my own voice since then, and my audio setup is better.
Yeah.
So my point with all this is that if you're not already an awesome blogger, there's no shortcut to becoming an awesome blogger. You just got to sit down and you got to write a bunch of crappy posts, and eventually, if you keep trying, they're going to get better.
Yeah.
But don't stress too much about it, because you won't have a huge audience at first.
Exactly. You know, everything you say, I completely agree with, Aaron. And by the way, I was just sort of scrolling. Now that you've told me where your old blog is, I've been scrolling through it, number one. Number two, I'm going to start sharing all of your old posts on Twitter. And you're playing the drums here. You're practicing the drums, and I'm going to share.
Oh, dude, that was actually a pretty good video.
Yeah. No. Okay. I'm going to do that. So no, this is. But I'm really impressed. Now, you clearly put a lot into this blog, and then it's a shame that you stopped. But you know, I know you went on to bigger and better things. Now you know you're with Sean West, and you produce all the podcasts there, and you've got your own fantastic podcast.
Yeah. 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 No. If people want to go see what I was thinking in 2011, it's pretty
funny. It's good stuff. No, it's well written, really, really well done. So anyway, so the point is, I mean, you could do the same with me. If you go to LinkedIn, you can go to my blog post. You can look all the way back to 2014. You could see my first attempts. You could see the first couple posts.
Yeah.
You know, maybe got a few hundred views or whatnot, maybe, you know, one or two comments and a couple of likes. And then that, you know, that changed. You'll see the evolution of my posts. They started to get noticed, and then, you know, the numbers just jumped dramatically. And since then, I've just, you know, I don't do that. I don't add it all up, but it's been enormous. So I've gotten, you know, maybe a million or so views and tens of thousands of likes and shares. You know, I'm not going to spend time adding that all up. It's meaningless. But the point is that, you know,
you showed up.
It is a great channel, a great platform to get your content and get your brand out there to get it noticed. Because there's no way I could have done that organically just through my own blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, so study what other people are doing, be consistent, keep your posts short.
Yes.
And then break it up. So break up, related to keeping it short, is breaking it up visually. So break it up with your post, you know, the text with subheadlines. Sounds basic, but some people don't do that. Graphics, sounds basic, but some people don't do that. Yeah. Or they find, you know, pretty not so attractive graphics, you know, find something.
Stock photography.
Yeah. Find something nice. Maybe go to Flickr.
Unsplash. You know, Unsplash.com, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
It is.
I love that. Yeah, I use that. And then, you know, drop in some quotes or whatnot just to sort of break up the text and just to make it visually appealing. I mean, ultimately, it's the content. Mm-hmm. It's what you have to say that's most important, most interesting. But, you know, visually,
presentation is
if you
important.
Make it look nicer and easier to read, that does help a little bit.
Yep. So presentation is really important.
Yeah, definitely. And then headlines are everything. So, okay, so maybe not everything. You know, obviously, the content is important, but they are really, really important. And it's something that I've spoken to many of the editors at LinkedIn and a number of other writers on LinkedIn, and they just have emphasized the importance of, you know, writing a really good headline. And it's funny, I've said this advice on a couple of podcasts or in blog posts on LinkedIn, and a lot of people have said this, but some people still don't do it. So they'll write, you know, a headline that just, it's not clear, you know, what the content of the post is about, or maybe it's just, you know, it's just not interesting.
Yep.
And, you know, it sounds kind of sad. If you have a really, it's just the reality that if you have a really good post, something you've written, good piece of content, very valuable to a lot of people, but if that headline is not going to pull them in and make them want to click, you know, unfortunately, they'll pass it over. And that happens to all of us. It happens to me. I've noticed some, you know, some of my posts, they get a lot of likes and shares and comments and people just raving about it. Wow, this is great. It brought a tear to my eye. All that kind of good stuff makes me feel good. But the view count is good. It's respectable, but, you know, it's not, you know, the ratio of likes and shares to the view count or views count is not incredibly high. So, and that's an indication that my headline was okay, but not that great.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I wrote a post this past week that I was really proud of and that did pretty well. I published it on Medium and I called it, "Want People to Remember You? Set Huge Goals for Yourself." And I that wasn't the initial title. I think I actually went through two or three different titles. I think initially it was going to be something like what I realized, the importance of story or something like that, or like set big goals for yourself. And it's like, that doesn't really do the post justice, because and I'll include a link in the show notes, podcastdude.com/40, but I explained in this blog post, I realized that like setting really big goals for yourself is really important because it gives you a story. And without a story, people won't remember you. Well, and they might, depending on how you act, but big stories, people that set huge goals are creating a big story for themselves. So I was like, well, why would they be interested in reading this? It's like, well, if you're the kind of person that cares about being remembered, and I do, I want to be remembered. I want to stand out. I want to do something awesome with my life and be recognized for it. Well, if you want to be remembered, how do you do that? Well, you set huge goals for yourself. So that's what the title was. And, you know, it's being shared. I don't know if it's the most successful blog post I've ever published, but I'm really happy with how it's doing. So just taking a little bit of time to think about why someone, what you have to offer someone, what value you can give someone, and try to explain that in a way that gets them interested in clicking on the title, because you're competing with so many other things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great headline. I definitely want to read that. It's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. And what I would say is, look, some people were asking in the chat in the Sean West community, you know, what about Medium? You know, should I publish on Medium or publish on LinkedIn? Help, I'm confused. You know, he didn't exactly write it that way, but I can see that.
There's a lot of places to publish, yeah.
Yeah, so that's fine. Look, it's a great question, and, you know, something that I've contemplated or struggled with, you know, in the past, and I can tell you exactly what I do. But you could take that post that you publish on medium.com and you can definitely republish it on LinkedIn.
I will.
And you will, and you should. And, you know, you should reference either, you know, the original. I think that, just to be fair to everyone, just make it clear, you know, it appeared originally on medium.com, but that's fine. Nobody really minds. And maybe they'll go back to your Medium and follow you on Medium there. Of course, you'll direct them to, you know, your podcast and, you know,
spider webs.
So, you know, LinkedIn, you should definitely try to write original content for LinkedIn, but a lot of people are repurposing and republishing stuff on LinkedIn. And it's perfectly fine as long as, number one, you just, you know, sort of credit the source. And number two, make sure it's the full post. So here's what some people do that I think is wrong. I'll just be blunt. It's wrong. So they'll say, they'll start off with a great headline. So I click through.
I'm interested.
I'm interested. I'm ready to read. I want to read what they have to say about, you know, whatever topic. And all of a sudden I get like a one sentence that says, oh, if you want to read my post on such and such website or on my blog, click here.
No, not okay.
Exactly. Thank you, Aaron. That's exactly how I feel every time I see that. So what do you think next time I see them publish a post? Will I click on their headline?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, because like, they're going to make me go to some other stupid website. Nah, now it's like the browser's taking forever to load. Yeah. I just wanted to read something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if it's a friend of mine, you know, my friends do that. Some do that, and I'm like, why did you do that? It's very simple. All you have to do, there's a thing called, you know, Control A or Command A, you know, select all, and then you click Command C or Control C on, you know, on the PC, copy, and then come, you know, you paste it in, and, you know, change the headline a little bit, And look, some people who are into SEO, they may be horrified that I'm talking like this or say, oh my God, you know, Google's going to, you know, strike you down. They're going to hate you for that. Look, I don't know. I'll leave it to the SEO experts to debate that. And let's not get into that. But the point is you can repurpose and republish, but you got to do it the right way. People want the full, want a complete story, you know, whenever they click on a post on LinkedIn. So if you want to just drop a link, that's easy. Just drop it into your feed. You know, that's sort of the share and update, your news feed on LinkedIn. But don't publish it as a stand. Don't publish a link or just one little paragraph or even two paragraphs as a standalone blog post. A standalone blog post should be a complete story in and of itself. It should be, you know, minimum 400, 500 words. And, you know, just be complete from beginning to end. And then if you want to link to a longer version, you can do that. People do that, and that's okay. You can link to the full report if it, you know, it's an excerpt from a book or a report that you've written. That's okay. But that blog post has to be a standalone piece of content that people can enjoy and get some value from.
Okay, so so update is more like quick link, almost like a tweet, maybe.
Right, exactly.
Whereas write a post is like you're going to make a big blog post. It's going to be a thing.
Right. And the difference, right, is that, you know, the stuff you share on LinkedIn is going to be interesting, value added, and professional, and not a bunch of, you know, cat videos and or memes.
Right.
Like you see on Facebook and Twitter. Sorry, I just mentioned those other guys. But anyway.
Cool.
So that was headlines. Headlines are important. I think we got totally off the topic. I can't even remember what we were saying about headlines. Just the point being, headlines are really, really important. I spend a lot of time on them. And here's what I do. Here's my secret. Besides writing, you know, variations of the headline before I hit publish.
It's a good idea.
I take it to the market. And sometimes the market is, you're not going to believe it, my two kids.
Yep.
So I have a 16-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter. And I'll show it to them and they'll, you know, they're pretty honest, pretty brutally honest, to be frank. They'll tell me exactly what they think. And when they see something, they say, hey, you know what? I like that. You know, my son will say, hey, and he'll give me a reason. Then like he selected the post. I had three options for my latest post and he picked the winner. And, you know, my latest post hit number three on LinkedIn. So anyway,
Ben, good dude.
So get advice if you can, if you, you know, I don't always get advice from people. I sort of just, you know, pray that it'll work. And sometimes it does, but, definitely try some different, you know, options out, see how they feel, how they sound and, you know, try to have fun. Don't be clickbaitish. That's not good. You don't want to promise something you can't deliver. And also, by the way, on LinkedIn for headlines, you can get away with a listicle, but they generally don't like them, they being the editors. So the editors on LinkedIn do a lot of hand curation of your content, and they will categorize it under one of the pulse channels. These channels are topic channels like technology, social media, leadership, and management. And if they put it, if they tag it under one of those categories, it'll blast your article out to hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of users, of readers. And that's where you get the visibility. But my point is, so if you want to make your post attractive to the editors, which you want to do actually, then you want to not only write a great blog post, but you want a headline that does not sound like you're just copying BuzzFeed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
So you'll still see listicles, and listicles are fine. And I'll use it once in a while, but not on LinkedIn. I'll use it elsewhere. Just for some reason, they're trying to avoid publishing listicles. And then another thing is just you got to remember that you are on a social network. So don't forget to be social or sociable. Don't just treat LinkedIn as a free advertising space.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people do, and they do a lot of crazy things. And even really smart people do some things that are just, you know, not very smart, to be frank. So don't just try to sell your stuff constantly without interacting with the community. And I do see this happen very often, you know, by some very talented and smart people. Like I said, they'll drop links to their content or latest product. And even when people leave positive comments or like or share their content, they don't acknowledge it at all. They're not there. And I suspect a couple things are possible. Number one, they may be using social media scheduling software.
Yep.
And they're just dropping in it automatically and they're not paying any attention. They're not on LinkedIn physically. You know, they're not there viewing the response to their content that they are sharing, that they're, I'm not going to mention the software, you know, there are a couple of applications out there that are fine, you know, for certain purposes. But if you're just automating your social media sharing, including on LinkedIn, and you're not interacting with the audience and building, you know, building connections or just being visible, it sort of runs counter to the whole purpose of LinkedIn. And it'll ensure that no, very few people will notice your stuff. And I see some very smart, successful, you know, people do that. And it's wrong, actually, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. There's I hear and I agree with what you're saying. And I have seen people do this. Like, if I see somebody just always posting their stuff or like just promoting themselves, and it doesn't ever seem like they're interacting or being personal in any way.
Right.
I don't feel like I come to have a connection, a real connection with that person. Like, I want to see a little bit of authenticity. I want to see a little bit of like of realness, and not just like, okay, maybe you're a content creating machine, which is fine and that's great, but like, show me who you are. You know, show me a little bit of your day to day life. I don't know. It's a tricky thing, because, and in one sense, I know a lot of people just want to provide value, and so they write a lot, they share a lot of their stuff, and they just want to give to people. But sometimes you have to just joke around with people, interact with people, you know, tell people thank you for if they leave a comment on your site.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I couldn't agree more, Aaron. And the funny thing is yes, I do share my own content. I'll share my podcast episodes. I'll share my blog posts on LinkedIn. But the funny thing is that sometimes all it takes is I'll share a photo of me playing ping pong with one of my colleagues in our office. One day they set up a ping pong table in our lounge, and I was playing ping pong, and someone took a picture of me and I posted on LinkedIn, and that got, you know, like the most, you know, traction, the most likes I've ever seen of any of my, you know, the posts that I drop into the feed. I'm not talking about my articles, obviously.
Yeah,
or, you know, a picture of the mountains outside, and, you know, just very simple kind of, you know, stuff like that. I don't do a lot of that, but occasionally just to give a glimpse into sort of behind the scenes, you know, where I work, where I live, a little bit of who I am, but not too much. Of course, LinkedIn is, you know, you don't want to get too personal on LinkedIn. That's maybe for other platforms, Snapchat.
I might get kind of personal. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I hear ping pong is very popular with millennials.
I wouldn't know because I'm not a millennial, so.
That's okay.
beyond me. But anyway,
maybe
I used to play it as a kid. It's popular with you know, Gen Xers like me.
Hmm.
So
be social. Like, if somebody talks to you, if somebody says hi, or, you know,
yeah,
that they enjoyed your article or your blog post or your podcast or your video, whatever.
Yeah,
just freaking say thank you. Like, it takes 3 seconds, and it might mean more. Yeah. To that person than you even know. You know?
Yeah, Aaron, you said it so much better than I did. I was so boring the way I described it. I was so, you know, kind of serious Gen X style, and you said, so just be freaking nice. What did you say? I'm, you know, the way you said it for your millennial audience is just so much better than the way I said it.
Well, we got both bases covered, because we got a lot of millennial listeners and we got a lot of Gen X listeners.
Exactly. So yeah, I don't know if we're including any baby boomers. I hope we are.
What's a baby boomer?
That's my parents' generation, and and then also the Gen Z, the Generation Z, and that's my kids.
Gen Z,
yeah.
Is that what they're calling them?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, hard to believe. So
all right, so that's good. So be social. There's a lot of good stuff, man.
Yeah, look, there's a lot more, and we can go on about this, and it's a great topic, and. You know, just poke around, look at my stuff. If you go to Write With Him, just go to LinkedIn and enter my name, Glenn Leibowitz, or go to writewithimpact.com/LinkedIn. You should get to my profile, and then you should be able to see all of my posts there. And just take a look at what I write about, you know, what I publish on. And also just look at, you know, how people are responding. You could see the comments, mostly very good, very professional, and very supportive, and some kind of crazy. It's kind of fun to watch, to read. But, you know, and also don't just look at my stuff, obviously. Look at other people's stuff. There's a lot of good stuff there. And I would say, by the way, there's some interesting content on there. I like to read other people's content. I do read it. I like it, and I share it. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot out of some of the stuff that I read there. So there's actually some useful stuff. You can learn a lot about a number of different topics on LinkedIn. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, curating and creating your own content. And I highly recommend it. I think you should give it a try. If you are a content creator of any sort, and you're also a blogger, or you're thinking of starting a blog. And by the way, when I started on LinkedIn, I was not a blogger. I wanted to start a blog, and I was starting my self-hosted, my personal blog at the same time, but I had no content and I didn't even know what to write about. So LinkedIn was my way, sort of my training bicycles.
Grounds.
Yeah. I don't know if, you know, what you
training
guys...
Training wheels. What? I like that.
Yeah, training wheels. Exactly. So
your hoverboard. No?
Yeah. See, well, again, that's just a generational thing. We didn't have that, you know, back then. We were, you know,
I don't have a hoverboard either. These things are so dumb. But yeah, it seems so weird to me that you got your start. It was just like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I really a year before that, I wanted to start a blog, and I really didn't know what the heck I should write about. And when LinkedIn opened its platform, it just, you know, people were writing about anything and everything. And I said, hey, I'll give it a try. Let me just write about something I think I know about. And I did. And, you know, I just took it from there and I built from there. But again, it was the consistency. I just try to, you know, put my body in the chair, maybe at my dinner table or wherever I was, and try to just, you know, hack out a post once a week. And I've been doing it ever since. And it's been fun. I've got to, you know, I got to meet a lot of really interesting people around the world. And then they recognized me in December as a top voice, so one of their top bloggers last year. So that was kind of nice.
That is awesome. And I just want to say this. I have two thoughts right now. Maybe three things. One, I really kind of want to own the podcasting space on LinkedIn.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to start doing that. I think there's a lot of people on there that would be very interested in what I have to say.
Sure.
Number two, if anyone... Okay, let me start with this. Number two, millennials, fellow millennials, you guys need to step up. You guys need to step up and show these older folks that you actually have something valuable to contribute, or that you're at least going to try, and you're not, you know, and don't fall into the whole like, oh, I don't have 100,000 views on my post. What's wrong with the world? Don't fall into that. Just you got to show up. You got to show up and you got to put in the work. So just freaking show up. And then three, don't stress too much about it. Just like go and try this out. Like don't overthink it. Don't be like, oh, I got to get everything perfect and I have to write the perfect blog post and this is a little bit scary. No, just go and try it out. Just try it out. Just publish something. Publish 500 words. Pick a topic. Write a headline. Write 500 words. Make it look kind of pretty. Pick a good picture from unsplash.com. Throw it up. Get it up there. Do it again. Do it again. That's where success comes from. Not this whole like, Glenn, I'm guilty of this. I'm so guilty of like overthinking everything and just being like, oh, I gotta have a whole podcast interview where I talk to a guy to get him to explain to me how to publish on LinkedIn when it's just a button. It's just a button that says publish a post.
Right.
And I could have just gone and published a freaking post, but instead,
exactly.
I procrastinated.
Yep.
And I said, let me get my good friend, my smart friend, Glenn Leibowitz on to explain to me in great detail why I should use this and how I use it. Because I'm scared. I'm scared of just like sitting down and doing the freaking work.
I know. It's tough. And, you know, I'll be perfectly honest. Now, I don't want to scare you off here, Aaron, because you haven't even started yet. But you will. You will. But what I would say is that, no, even today, 2 years later, I, you know, still wonder, number one, will anyone like this headline or anyone like this post? And then even before I hit publish, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, no one's going to read this. No one's going to like it. Then even right after I publish it, then I'm like, oh my gosh, no one's going to like it. No one's going to read it. And then
it never goes away.
I've had a much different experience though. If you can, you know, take a look at my posts, you'll see they've done pretty well. But, you know, even if you only get 50 or 100 views or 200 views or whatever on your post, that's fine. I mean, those are people behind those, you know, views. And if you get a couple likes, that's encouraging. And just, you know, keep doing it. Don't give up just because you feel like, you know, you're talking to an echo chamber. And the other thing is you can definitely, as I've said before, just repurpose and republish on your blog. Start building up your archive on your blog. You know, maybe change up the headline. Maybe mix up the intro a little bit. But, and again, I'll leave that to the SEO experts on what you should do about that. But you can definitely republish on medium.com. And I know they're okay with that. I've talked to the editors at LinkedIn and Medium about this, and they seem generally okay with that. Of course, they prefer exclusive content. But anyway, just do it. Just get started somewhere, and good luck. And you know, you can definitely find a lot more about, you know, writing on LinkedIn. I'm on I've written about it on LinkedIn. And also if you go to, you know, my podcast, I've interviewed an editor, one of the senior editors at LinkedIn, Isabel Rugel. She is based in Sydney, Australia, and I interviewed her last year. So she gives you everything you need to know about writing on LinkedIn. And that's, her name's Isabel Rugel, but go to my, you know, my podcast website, writewithimpact.com, and you'll find her. Just look at, you know, enter Isabel into the search term.
I'll include a link in the show notes.
We'll include a link. And then also I interviewed Justin Bariso in December. Justin Bariso, he's a popular writer on LinkedIn. And I also interviewed another popular writer on LinkedIn, and that'll be in one of my upcoming episodes. So a little plug for my podcast. Sorry about that. But I do write and interview people about the topic of writing on LinkedIn.
I like that. So writewithimpact.com, fantastic website. That's where people can go to find you. But I was going to say that I enjoy that you write about LinkedIn on LinkedIn, just like I podcast about podcasting in a podcast.
I do. So yeah, one post I wrote a month ago or so is why I write on LinkedIn and why you should too. And that one did really well. A lot of people are interested in that topic because they're doing it or they're contemplating it. They're thinking about it. They're overthinking about it, like people like Aaron Dowd.
Hello.
And they're not actually taking action. But anyway, I'll help you with that offline if you want. But you know, I'm sure you don't need my help.
Just do it.
You're a good writer, Aaron. You write stuff. You generate a lot of great content on your podcast about podcasting. And let me tell you, every time I write about podcasting or drop, you know, links to my podcast on LinkedIn, people love it. The one post that I wrote about podcast, my first post I wrote about podcasting a year ago was, you know, why 2015 will be the year of the podcast. That was Google liked that. So if you enter year of the podcast, you'll see that post on LinkedIn pop up. Google indexed my post because it did so well. People really, really liked it and linked to it and so forth. So podcasting is a really hot topic on LinkedIn. You know, I think, Aaron, you are definitely positioned to, like you said, own that topic, but you got to, you know, just get started and start talking about it and be known as the podcast dude on LinkedIn.
That's great advice. So writewithimpact.com, where else can people find you online?
So LinkedIn, as I mentioned, go to LinkedIn and just enter my name, Glenn Leibowitz, or go to writewithimpact.com/LinkedIn, and that'll redirect you. So definitely connect with me directly on LinkedIn. I like to do that. If you want to follow me, I'd appreciate it, but I'd really just prefer to connect directly. That means we get to sort of, you know, we can chat offline that way and get to know each other better. And I'm also on Twitter.
At Glenn Leibowitz and at?
Impactful Writer, but just go to at Glenn Leibowitz.
There you go, at Glenn Leibowitz. And people, listener, hello. Thanks for listening to this three-part series. I hope this was helpful. If you want, you can email me, Aaron, at the podcast dude. If you have questions, if we didn't get to talk about anything that you'd like to hear about, I would be more than happy to answer emails. Or you can find me on Twitter, Aaron, at thepodcastdude.com. Also trying something new. Glenn, I'm so millennial. I downloaded Snapchat and I'm using it again.
That's good.
I feel
I asked my teen son, you know, whether he uses it, and he looked at me and he didn't want to talk about it because he doesn't want me on there. But I don't know how to use it anyway. I'm trying to figure it out, but you know, I think
it's a little weird.
It's beyond me. It's for your generation, I guess. Yeah. What can I say?
No, okay, so here's the thing. Like, really, you either take a picture or you take a short video. You can string them together, you can make multiple ones, and then you can either add it to like what they call the story, which is kind of like a feed, your feed for the day, or you can send that to an individual person and then they can reply.
Yeah, I believe you. You know, you got to do an episode, Snapchat for Podcasters with the podcast dude. Seriously, you should do it. I'll listen to that one for sure.
Yep. Maybe we might have to. We've been talking about it a lot in the Seanless community lately because I was very skeptical, just like I was with LinkedIn originally. I was like, okay, I don't want to be like, it seems to me like there's a bunch of freaking teenagers on this Snapchat sending each other snaps with Lord knows what in them. And I don't know if anyone cares. Like, does anyone want to see like random pictures from me? Is there anyone posting good content? But there's a lot of great content being created on Snapchat from people in the Seanless community. A lot of the a lot of the people in there are actually doing some really cool stuff. And so we had a discussion about it. We talked about it for an hour, and basically I got talked into it, and they gave me some tips, and they're like, it's a way for to show people behind the scenes, give them a more personal look. And a lot of people, you know, I'm a podcaster, so people, one, they can't see how awesome my hair looks right now, but they don't know what I look like. They don't, they've never seen, most of them have probably never seen a video of me. So it's just a way to give them a little bit more of that, that personal connection. And so anyways, all that to say, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent here, but all that to say, if you want to follow me on Snapchat, the username is Aaron CWA, Aaron with two A's, CWA. So yeah, I mean, I post videos about what I'm up to, daily planning. I try to do tips, health advice, podcasting stuff. It's just a little bit of behind the scenes. That's it. So Aaron at thepodcastdude.com. I'm the podcast dude on Twitter. Glenn, I believe you have an email address that you encourage people to email you as
yeah,
well, right?
Glenn with two N's at rightwithimpact.com. And so yeah, definitely send me an email. Let me know if you have any questions about LinkedIn. I like to talk about it and write about it. And thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And thanks, Aaron, and to the entire team at Sean West, Sean McCabe, and everyone there for inviting me onto your program.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming, man. This was really good. Man, you opened a loop earlier about doing another series, and now I'm curious.
It's okay. Now I got to invite you on my show first. You're invited to my show.
All right. I think we got some questions in the after show, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right. I think we got a couple of questions to answer. Yeah, you know what? I want to come on your show and talk some of those writers into podcasting.
Yep.
Because I think that Chris Fox guy would be a really good podcaster.
Yeah, definitely. No, he's really good. He's vlogging his novel. So he's writing a full-length novel in 21 days, and he's putting it on YouTube every day. It's the most amazing challenge you've ever seen. You got to watch it. It's really great.
I tried to watch one of those videos earlier, but it wasn't loading. I think I was in a bad internet connection spot. But I do want to go back and watch it. And that's a really cool idea. See, that's a good idea. That's a good way to promote your stuff, you know. Show people the process. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I would love to come on your show. So we got a couple of questions from Garrett. So Garrett Mickley asks, should I keep my LinkedIn content to job-related content? Would it be a good idea to keep my website content game design-related while my LinkedIn content has to do with the business end of game design? I would say whatever you're going to publish on LinkedIn, just publish about what you want to be known for. For yep. example, like if you want to be known for being yep. a game designer, then publish things about that. Share updates about what successful game designers are doing or how to learn how to become a game designer.
Yeah.
Just publish everything related to that. Become known as that guy. Like that's how I do it with podcasting.
Right.
There's a lot of different aspects to podcasting.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that's excellent advice. That's a great answer. Better than I could possibly put it. And yes, yeah, so don't overthink it. Don't worry about, you know, trying to be business related or, you know, really stuffy and boring. No. You know, just write about something that you know about and you're passionate about. And, you know, just put it out there and it'll reach, you know, maybe that particular audience, and maybe it's a narrow audience, and maybe that's, you know, perfectly fine for you because that's all you care about.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't overthink it. You also just got to throw stuff out there and see what sticks, for lack of a better expression. You know, just do it and see what, you know, see what works, see what doesn't, and you'll end up doing more of the stuff that works and less of the stuff that doesn't.
I like that. And I would add, just be authentic, be genuine, write about stuff that you care about, and because your goal, what you want is to attract other people that share your interests, attract exactly. other people
yeah.
that care about the same things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, don't try to figure out what the whole LinkedIn audience
right.
group of people care about. No, like you're basically writing to one other person, and it's kind of yourself. I mean, that's the way I think about it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even though it sounds kind of daunting, you know, there are 420 million members, and it's true, and they're global, and they're, you know, 200 countries, and, you know, like, it's very kind of intimidating. Don't think of it that way. Just realize there are probably people out there who, you know, do what you do or are interested in the same things, and that's who you're probably going to talk to or write to, and that's good enough. And so just, you know, the posts that come out really quickly for me, the ones that I don't have to think about too hard, but I just sort of get into that flow state, that state of concentration, and they just sort of flow out of my fingers, are the ones where I'm just relating what I know best and what I care about most. And you put that, you know, that sort of attitude or that enthusiasm or passion into what you write, people mm-hmm. will notice that. And I think they'll get engaged. They'll like that even more. Rather than trying to be Mr. Authority or Ms. Authority on a certain topic, which is, it's fine. You know, you want to be known as an authority to some extent, but don't try too hard. Don't try too hard. Just sort of write what you know best, what you're really interested in. And then that authority will come out, I think, very naturally. And then here's something that, I don't know when I realized this, maybe a year ago or so, but, and I hope it doesn't sound too cheesy, but if you notice, the word authority has the word author in it. So there you go.
Hey.
So yeah, I know you should bang your drum on that one. So look, or the cymbals, you know, a little cymbal crash from Aaron Dowd, but it's true. So I think the people who write, and again, this is sort of consistent with what Sean has been talking about a lot for the past couple of years, and especially recently. But you know, if you're writing, you're teaching what you know, you're becoming known as an expert in that field. So 2 years ago, I was known for nothing. I'll be perfectly frank, because I did not write under my own name. Nobody knew who I was, and they didn't know what I knew. So now, 2 years later, I'm known as, I write about a number of different topics, including education, technology, professional development. But one thing I've tried to curate and build a, you know, sort of a personal, you know, presence around is writing. And so people know me for that.
Yeah, that's a great point. No, a couple of years ago, I wasn't really known for anything either. And man, I love that you can't have authority without author.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff, man. I think that's really great. And then let's touch on this other. Do you have time? Do you have to go?
Sure, I can take another one. Sure.
Okay, I think just he had one other question. This was about like there's a bunch of different I'm paraphrasing here. There's a bunch of different platforms, Medium, now LinkedIn, Twitter, social media, blog posts, but yet all these different things. Like, how do you decide what goes where? You know, should you post the same thing on all three, but maybe rewrite it to avoid duplicate content?
Yeah.
Do you want to start with this one or do you want me to?
I'll do this because this takes a little bit longer and I'll try to be concise because it's a longer discussion. And I'll tell you why. So, because it's kind of strange the way I do it. And I've talked to the editors at LinkedIn about this and how I do it and why. I've also talked to the editors at Medium in person, why I do what I do.
You just know everybody.
So let me tell you what I do.
Okay.
This is just me, and I'm not suggesting you do this, but I started writing a lot of my posts, and I still do to this day, not all of them, but a lot of them I write on Medium. So here's the secret. I write on Medium because the UI is so beautiful.
It is
nice. So minimalistic. It's so nice. So even though I look like this, some corporate communications guy on the outside, I'm actually, you know, sort of a, you know, I can appreciate good design. All right,
yes.
I'll just put it that way. I'm not a graphic designer.
And
I'm not a web designer by profession, but I appreciate it. So when I saw Medium, I immediately fell in love with it. And let me tell you this. So I'm speaking to Garrett here and anyone else who's interested in this. Here's my secret. I write on Medium. And I told the LinkedIn editors, and they're like, what? We've never heard that before. And they were fine with it because they know that I publish on LinkedIn.
Right.
So I publish on LinkedIn because that's where the freaking audiences. It's huge.
Right, yeah.
Now, Medium does have an audience. It's growing. They also, you know, Medium is an interesting place, but it's difficult to get noticed. So, for example, the same blog post on LinkedIn will get, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 views on LinkedIn. I've been quite fortunate. You know, I've gotten a lot of traction with not just in views, but engagement, you know, social shares and comments. But anyway, so it'll take off. And the reason why it takes off on LinkedIn is because it gets tagged under one of the Pulse channels. Mm. And the reason why it gets tagged is because the editors know my content and they'll tag it manually. You see what I'm saying? So you got, if you want to get traction, you got to get tagged under one of the big channels so that it gets, you know, pushed out to the readers. Now, Medium, I don't know how it works. It's controlled by, you know, collection owners. And then there are editors. I've met the editors. And they do hand curation. But, you know, you have to get their attention like you do with LinkedIn. And they will hand curate certain pieces and others they'll, you know, they'll ignore. And most of them they'll ignore. And so Medium is beautiful. I can think and write really well on Medium. But then I copy and paste and publish it on LinkedIn first. Now, that's not answering your question. So I can publish on Medium, and I often do. And sometimes they do fairly well. But for the most part, LinkedIn is where the audience is, and you'll get a lot more traction there. But Medium is nice. You can definitely build a presence there. There's definitely an interesting community there, sort of more of sort of the creative type, tech type, you know what I mean? Sort of the, you know, the cool type that are, you know, hang out on in the community here and less corporate for sure. And there's a lot more swearing, you know, a lot more vulgar language there on Medium, a lot more, you know, it just feels a little bit more free and free ranging than LinkedIn, which is a little bit more, definitely a little bit more buttoned down.
Sure.
So Medium is great. I highly recommend you know, building a presence on Medium and a following there. I like Medium a lot, but I'm just telling you the reality. If you look at the stats, and it's all quite visible, quite transparent. You can go to each of my LinkedIn posts and see the stats. Whereas on Medium, it's not transparent. So that's the most, one of the most amazing things about LinkedIn is, number one, they give you amazing stats. You have the stats dashboard that they launched last year that is just, you know, really great stats, number one. Number two, they make it, not all of it, but, you know, some of the essentials, they make it totally transparent to the world. So, you know, that's sort of like your badge, you know, it shows, I mean, you know, it's not that you want to boast or anything, but it just shows, you know, it's a record of, you know, how far your post went and the kind of, you know, response that it generated. Anyway, I can go on and on about that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but, you know, do both. Medium and LinkedIn are great platforms, both.
Okay. Then, no, that's good. And I'll just add something real quick, and then we got to wrap up because, wow, we're pushing an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay.
Woo! Remember how I said at the beginning of the first show that I was going to try to keep it at like 30, 45 minutes?
Yeah, I know.
It never happens. Okay, so Garrett, here's my thoughts, dude. I found that the more I write, the more I think about writing, the more topics I write down, the more I have to write about. So write a blog post and then publish it. Think about it for a while. Maybe you can rewrite it, but I'm just saying, like, it's you're not going to run out of things to write about. The more you write, the more you have to write about it. Sean says that all the time, and he's absolutely correct. So, I mean, and yeah, maybe think about the audience a little bit more and say, okay, is this something for is this something for like my hacker friends, my hipster friends that are on Medium, or is this something for more of like the straight up, very serious professional type? And I'm not saying on LinkedIn, everyone's like buttoned down and professional, but Glenn, you said, you know, it is a little bit more, there's less cursing. I want to say serious, but I don't want to say that in like, not as a bad way, but just like people take their stuff seriously, right?
Yeah,
that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
No, definitely. It's definitely more, not just serious, more professional. Yeah, there's definitely no cursing, very little on LinkedIn. And, you know, and then on Medium, it's just, you know, it's more fun. It's sort of, you know, it's more relaxed and...
Right. So maybe think about like which place would be ideal, you know? Because I'm going to do that because my Medium posts... I don't think I really am going to write that much about podcasting on Medium. It doesn't feel like the right place. For me, Medium feels like a place to write about my personal thoughts, maybe some of the stuff that wouldn't necessarily go into the podcast.
I don't know. I've seen. Sorry, Aaron. I'm going to cut in here. I've seen some people write about podcasting on Medium. And some of them do pretty well. You know, depending on the topic and what you write about. So I don't rule it out right now. Especially, you know, just give it a shot. I think you've got a lot to say about podcasting for sure. A lot that a lot of people want to hear about or read about. Because, you know, for whatever reason, they may not, you know, not
go to
discovered your podcast yet, but they will. And, or they don't have the time to listen or they don't like to listen. As you know, we love podcasts, but not everybody does. And so just for them, you know, just to sort of zoom through, a written post by you on podcasting on Medium, I think is a good idea.
Okay. So you got a fair point there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, mainly that's what I wanted to say is Garrett, just write more. Write twice as much as you are right now.
Yeah, I wish I could. I mean, I have a lot more topics that are in my Evernote folder or on Medium. So in my drafts folder on Medium, I have like 50 topics that are unpublished or unfinished because I didn't have the time or whatever for whatever reason. But I try to dip into those once in a while and just sort of get them out the door because I just they stick with me in my mind. I want to turn them over and over and I just want to just get it done and published. And some of those that I sit on for a long time, and then you know, when the time arises, when the opportunity arises, there's something in the news or something interesting that happens, I'll write about it and publish it at that moment. And you know, it sort of that helps a lot. In turn, you know, if I peg it, if I relate it to something that's happening in the real world, then that helps. So anyway,
I like that. Capture your topics and write more.
Yeah,
I think that's how we're going to end this series.
Yeah, especially with for someone who's of my age, I don't remember all of my awesome headlines, so I do have to carry around on my iPhone, you know, my Evernote, so that I capture those great headlines that come to my mind because I'm not like the young folk, the millennials like you. You guys have great memories and you can remember everything. I'm getting up there.
I know you're joking here, but you're that's actually no. That's a great point, and that is a great practice. Like, don't try to remember. Don't ever try to remember everything. Keep it in your head. Like everyone, podcasters, writers, everyone should have a list somewhere where they capture topic and headline ideas.
That's
if you're not, you're messing up so bad if you're not doing this.
Yeah, that's such a game. Been such a game changer for me. And the other game changer for me is moving from my basic text app, which is, you know, on my iPhone to Evernote. So putting it in and putting the stuff in the cloud as much as possible so that, you know, if I lose my phone and I've had several near misses where I thought for sure it was, you know, my phone was gone forever. Oof. And I thought I lost like 50 fantastic blog post topics and book ideas. You know what I mean? So put it in the cloud, even though, you know, maybe someone out there in the matrix is reading your stuff. I don't really care. At least, you know, you'll be able to download it and work on it at any moment. So final piece of parting advice, Aaron, thanks a lot. And thanks to everyone in the amazing Sean West community. Sorry, I'm sounding kind of, you know, in a rush here, but I actually do have to
sign off,
go somewhere else, sign off soon. And I'll see you, talk to you all again soon. I hope.
Definitely, man. Have an excellent day.
Yeah, thanks
a lot.
Bye,
people.
Yep.
Thank you, Glenn Leibowitz.
Thanks.